listening to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, one of the many features of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the host and producer of the show. A couple of years ago, I had Dr. Bruce Johnson from the Arizona C.S. Lewis Society share about the journal they produce called Zanzook. He's back today, as the combined Volume 7 and 8 will soon be available. It's a special anniversary issue on the life and work of C.S. Lewis. Because of this special issue, I thought it a perfect time to have him return to talk about the journal and focus on the material in this latest edition. Welcome back to All About Jack, Bruce.
Thank you, William. It's good to be back with you.
Bruce, in a perfect world, people have read nearly all of Lewis's work, or at least have listened to the previous show I did with you about Zanzook. Now, even though that's not true, many know what this word means, but for those who don't, let's begin by having you explain what it means, and then tell us why that name was chosen over others.
The word Zanzook means desire or longing. It's a German word, a compound of the verb Zanen, meaning to long for, and the noun Zucht, meaning addiction. And it was the late D.G. Kell who proposed this name for our journal back in 2005. Dell laid out for us how Zanzook was a theme found not only as the joy of surprise by joy, but throughout the many writings of C.S. Lewis. So Dell began to take us through book by book the Lewis corpus and pointed out how we see this sense of longing, this theme of longing in so much of what Lewis wrote. And as he did that, Dell also brought in other writers, Goethe, Novalis, Thomas Wolfe, F. Scott Fitzgerald. And soon became apparent to me that Dell knew far more about German and English literature than I could ever hope to know. But he finally convinced us that that would be a good name for our journal.
Well, Bruce, let's go ahead and treat this like a various authors book and have you go through the table of contents to share who wrote the articles and what their titles are.
Certainly. This is a different volume for us. It's the first time that we have all the articles being commissioned articles. So for that, we have Robert McSwain, the Assistant Professor of Theology and Christian Ethics at Swanee, the University of South School of Theology. He writes on the continuing relevance or irrelevance of C.S. Lewis. Sanford Schwartz, who's Professor of English at Penn State, writes on recasting the discarded image, C.S. Lewis on the modern side. Don King from Monterey College and editor of Christian Scholars Review has given us an article on poetry. David Downing, professor of English at Elizabethtown College in Pennsylvania, writes on Lewis's last great letter writer, or as a spiritual advisor through his letters. Mark Pike, who is a reader, that is associate professor in education at the University of Leeds, has given us an article on C.S. Lewis, a Christian educator for the post-Christian era. Lyle Dorset, of course, former director of the Marion Wade Center and now professor of evangelism at Beeson Divinity School, writes on Lewis and the Care of the Souls. So it should be a very good, well-rounded volume.
Well, obviously, we can't go over each article, but if you don't mind, let's focus in on a few, say, Dr. Downing and Dr. King, who've been on my show before. Can you give me some details about their topics to help a potential reader know what to expect?
David Downing's article is a review of Lewis giving spiritual advice in his letters. And from a lesser writer, that would be a very boring article, but David Downing is such a great writer himself that he really does a good job with this and gives some humanizing and then very insightful insights on Lewis as a letter writer. Don King, who's already written a book on Lewis's poetry and has recently edited the collection of letters from Joy Davidman, he gives us a reevaluation of Lewis as a poet. Lewis is dismissed by folks as not a very good poet or not a very important poet. And I think Don King gives us some helpful correctives to that image.
Let me have you pick maybe one or two others to summarize what their articles are about so listeners can get a taste of their material.
Well, Sanford Schwartz, of course, is the author of C.S. Lewis on the Final Frontier, Science and the Supernatural and the Space Trilogy. And I don't know if he is becoming a better writer or I'm becoming a better reader, but I really enjoyed his article on recasting the discarded image, C.S. Lewis on the modern side. What he does in this article for Zainzucht is he takes Lewis and he compares Lewis in how Lewis responded to different philosophical and scientific theories of his day and age. And he does that with clarity, Schwartz does, and I thought that was an illuminating article. And Robert McSwain, he takes an attempt to try to say, why is it that Lewis is so admired by lay Christian audiences, particularly American evangelicals, but he's virtually ignored by the theologians in the academy. And so he tries to crack that nut, as it were. And I think he does a competent job with that. So that and some other things. Again, I think it's going to be a really good volume.
Well, Bruce, finally, what other content is in this latest combined Volume 7 and 8 issue?
Well, we always try to include book reviews and theater reviews and also some new poems that relate to different themes that Lewis wrote about. So in this issue, we have about 60 different books that are reviewed, either through reviews or review essays or short notices. So I think that's a record number for us. We also have 3 theater reviews and 7 new poems. So I think all of that will be delightful. I'm particularly pleased with the growing number of reviews that we have. I think it really matches what our original vision was for the journal.
Bruce, go ahead and tell us about how people can get a copy.
Well, you can visit the website of the journal, www.zainzucht, that's S-E-H-N-S-U-C-H-T, zainzucht-cslewis.org, www.zainzucht-cslewis.org, and there'll be information there on how to order it.
Next, could you take us back to some of the previous issues and articles and tell us something about that?
Well, let me give you a selection from each of the volumes that have already been published. Volume 1, which came out in 2007, includes an article by Walter Hooper on his reflections as an editor of Lewis's works. I thought that was warm and winsome. Volume 2 in 2008 contained the transcript of a BBC radio broadcast, Beyond Personality, Recollections of C.S. Lewis, that was commissioned for the centennial of Lewis's birth. So that's been edited by our general editor, Grayson Carter. And it really has some nice things. Not all who knew Lewis liked him. And it's important to remember that for us who are Lewis enthusiasts. Volume 3 that came out in 2009, we were fortunate enough to have a distinguished scholar, the late Jean Bethke Elstein, give us an article on revisiting Lewis's inaugural lecture at Cambridge University. Volume 4, 2010, includes a delightful piece by D.G. Kell, Adventures Dipped in Myth, The Voyage of the Don Treader as Quest Saga, where it compares the Don Treader with other Quest Saga literature, which I found very helpful. And then the double volume, volume 5, 6, which is done for 2011-2012, includes an article by a brilliant up-and-coming Finnish theologian, Jason Lepojärvi. He writes on A Friend's Death, C.S. Lewis' Disagreement with St. Augustine, which is really, really brilliant, as all of Jason's work is. So that gives you at least a taste of what you'll find in the previous volumes of Zainzucht. We have all of the articles, all of the reviews that are cataloged several different ways on our website, so people can go there and find all that.
Well, let's turn the focus on to you and share with us what topic or topics related to Lewis you are especially interested in.
Sure. Much of my current work last couple of years has focused on the work of C.S. Lewis with Royal Air Force chaplains during World War II. So I've completed 3 preliminary articles on that topic and hope to have a monographed book version of that out. I'm trying to have it finished in time for the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Britain, which will be in September of 2015. So of the 3 articles on that, the first was published in Volume 5, 6 of Zainzucht that focused on 1944 and Lewis's work with Charles Gilmore at the RAF Chaplain School in Cambridge. Article that was published in February of 2014 in 7, focused on Lewis and his appearance on the very popular BBC radio program Brains Trust. Later, Lewis used the Brain Trust format with live audiences, especially with the RAF personnel. And then the third article is coming out in the Journal of Inkling Studies. That is one where I detail Lewis's use of scripture in his RAF talks. And included in that is a chart of what we currently know about Lewis's RAF visits. We have about 24 visits that are documented and dated in that article. Recently, I promised a fourth article to the New York C.S. Lewis Society for their bulletin, and that will focus on 1941, Lewis's first visit to an RAF base to give a talk there at RAF Abingdon, and how Lewis apparently did not know initially that he had done a very poor job in making that talk. So I'll get into that a little bit, and also include something by Christopher Tolkien as a young man when he saw a training plane from RAF Abingdon go down. And later, Christopher Tolkien became an RAF pilot himself. So I think that's an interesting side note to that discussion.
Returning to the journal Zanesook, is it too early to say what's in store for the next volume after this combined 7 and 8 issue?
Well, I know we'll have a very good article entitled Nothing Beautiful Hides Its Face, The Hiddenness of Esther in C.S. Lewis's Till We Have Faces. It's a very intriguing article comparing themes in the Book of Esther with what we have until we have faces. I would tell you who wrote the article, but we do blind reviews, so I'm not sure who wrote it, but it's an excellent one. Also, we are in the process of rearranging our editorial cohort because our general editor, Dr. Grayson Carter, is stepping down, so we need a new general editor. And very sadly, we lost one of our associate editors, D.G. Kill, who was just an expert on very technical points of English grammar. So the loss of both of those men is really hard for us. But undoubtedly, we are trying to fill those slots and get some other people involved in the editing process.
As we wrap up, Bruce, go ahead and give details about your group so that those close or near enough could attend. And then finally, share any final thoughts about why people will want to pick up a copy of Zanesook.
The Arizona C.S. Lewis Society meets for a monthly book study, and that's always on the first Tuesday of each month at 7:30 at the Quo Vadis Books, which is located across from Arizona State University campus on Mill Avenue. And don't forget to sign up for your own copy of Zanesook Volume 7. You'll really want to read David Downing's marvelous and masterful contribution of Lewis as a letter writer, Don King's very well done corrective to Lewis as a poet, and some other just really nice pieces by good top scholars of various fields as they reflect on Lewis 50 years after his death.
Bruce, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you again about this exciting issue of Zanesook.
Always good to talk with you, William.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, a feature partner site on the Middle Earth Network. Be sure to visit me at EssentialCSLewis.com for previous interviews, including recent ones on a book by Paul McCusker called C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity, and a chat I did with Peter Byram about three videos from the 2013 C.S. Lewis Symposium, along with earlier shows that include an occasional series discussing a single shorter work by C.S. Lewis. If you have any questions or comments, you can email them at info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, at EssentialCSLewis.com.